Footnote Press presents The Grand Scheme of Things, written by Rorona Jay and read by Onu Uhera and Sam Stafford. It takes time to reject the most important lie, that black people can't do the same things that white people do unless a white person helps them. Black Klansman, 2018, director, Spike Lee. Eddie. Chapter 1. The Man in the Cafe. October 2015. In your defence, it was really busy on the day we met. You probably felt that you had no choice but to sit at the empty spot beside me. Nobody ever chooses the tables that face the windows, the ones with the stools too high off the ground, where if you place your belongings beneath you, it's a whole manoeuvre just to reach down and grab them. It's usually only if they have no other choice. Of course, I'm generalising preferences, and I'm excluding myself from this generalisation. I love window tables in cafes. This particular spot had been mine for weeks before the fateful day we met. I would sit right where the bustling street in Holborn worked as a foreground, hammering away at my laptop in either focused ferocity or erratic desperation, with a piping hot mocha to the left of me, every weekday for a few hours, in the same chair, in the same cafe, like clockwork. I'd often have a chair left between me and the next stranger, so I would have preferred it if you had scanned the room for a little longer so you could find a free spot elsewhere, or anywhere to give me space for myself. But this one day, nobody was giving up space. The cafe was getting busier and busier, with activity climbing towards its lunchtime summit, just as you came in. I wouldn't have given you a second glance if you had walked past, but you stopped after you entered, hesitated, and then walked to the seat right next to me. I moved my tote bag out of the way, and you smiled instinctively, harmlessly. I kept my eyes glued to my laptop screen as you set up your things, but I was very much aware that you were there, floating, hovering, bobbing around in my periphery. Art is a stressful game, Hugo. I know you know that now, but it was consuming me that day. I was trawling through the script for the play I was working on, so close to the end, yet so far away. I had the passion for it, but not the discipline. I had the dream, but not always the drive. I was excited, but I was also stressed. And to thwart the stress, I would take a smoke break every hour to the hour. I'd start rolling up Golden Virginia tobacco into a Rizla paper, stick in a menthol filter, and then step outside, directly ahead of the window, where I could keep an eye on my things. I found myself turning to you after I licked the cigarette closed. I politely asked you to watch my belongings while I stepped out to degenerate my lungs, and you politely obliged. You were a faceless stranger. Sometimes I cherish that first hour we sat together, with no knowledge of one another. It was peace, for us to blend into the cafe, become a part of everything else, all consumed by our own lives and worries. It was peace before your life became mine, before mine became yours.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have pried, but I couldn't help but notice that you're working on something interesting, you said to me around 5 minutes after my return.
I turned to look at you properly for the first time. I was slightly intimidated, wondering what on earth compelled this man to have an ounce of interest in me. I was self-conscious, knowing I smelled like a fresh ashtray, so I internally tensed at the sound of your introductory apology. I thought you were going to bring up my disgraceful habit. British people have a way of using an apology to convey opposing things. It represents 50% regret and 50% inconvenience. I relaxed once I realised you were just being deferential.
Is that a script for a play or a show or something? You asked.
Unlike
sample complete. Ready to continue?